Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 19th, 2015. And with me today, again, because I could not get enough yesterday, Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
I'm very well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm excited you're both here because it's always great to get to spend time with the two of you. Yeah. Also, I'm very excited because Lynda is our sponsor this week, lynda.com. And I'll be talking about their awesome training videos shortly. But before we do that, I thought we could talk about something that, that believe it or not, I do have an interest in. Most people wouldn't realize it. But Kelly, I think you have a very deep interest in this. And this is the whole thing with Nintendo saying, hey, we're going to bring games to the iPhone and the iPad. And my first thought was, finally, someone at Nintendo gets it. If they want to continue to make money in the video game market, bring their games to iOS.
Right.
And then my second thought was, how are they going to screw this up? And then they told us.
Yes, they did.
So what they're doing is they're teaming up with a company called DNA, and this is a company that makes a lot of games, and so they'll be using and so this company has a lot of experience in iOS, which is great. The problem is that that what they're going to do, instead of giving us our Mario Kart and our Mario Brothers and all the other Nintendo games.
Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda, for example. No, not going to happen. No. Instead, these are all going to be new games that are made with the Nintendo name, but they're not the games that we wanted to have.
And probably not even the characters.
Why did they give a reason? I mean, is there some contractual, long-standing, you know, long in the tooth thing that prohibits them from releasing some of this intellectual property on non-Nintendo branded consoles or you know, I guess game consoles, right? I mean, we'll call the iPhone a portable game console at this point, you know, among other things.
So, to my knowledge, there's no legal. There's no legal deal. There's no contract they've made with Miyamoto-san to never put this out on anything else. I think what they're doing is they are taking a very – what they think, I think, is a very Apple stance. We make the software and we make the hardware. We control the entire widget at the end. And the problem with that is Nintendo's answer when I say, please let me play Super Mario on my iPhone is, why would you do that? We make the Game Boy, you know, whatever they call the new one, the DS, BBQ, XL, sure. Whatever. Yeah. So they want me to go buy the DS, BBQ, and I don't want to because that's $100. But I will happily give you $5 or $10 because that's way less than I've ever given you than I've given you in my lifetime in quarters to play Donkey Kong. And so they want me to pay $100 and I don't want to, and I will never pay them $100 for that handheld game.
So we think it.
If they want any money from me, this is the way to do it, and they won't do it.
I can shed some light on this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So in their press release, they said that they're not going to be bringing their I'll call them their classic games, the games that you know, to other devices because they can't control the quality of the experience across various hardware platforms.
And that makes sense. You're right, Kelly. That's a very Apple thing, right? You know, we want to. Yeah, we don't want you dealing with soft buttons on your iPhone when we can give you, you know, actual thumb controls.
And I understand that, but I also know that Apple makes iTunes for Windows.
Well, and we also have the Nintendo emulators that were available for a short period of time on iOS.
And they keep being available for a short period of time because those people refuse to be denied.
Yeah, that's true. But what we learned from those emulators coming out for the iPhone and the iPad is that these games run beautifully on iOS.
Yeah.
And if Nintendo is really worried about, well, do you have the right kinds of controllers and right kinds of buttons, why not make an attachment for the iPhone and the iPad that has the buttons that they want?
Yeah, and my son My son was a big fan of the portable Nintendo units, and you know, kept getting either getting for as Christmas gifts or taking his Christmas money and buying them, you know, that sort of thing. And that stayed right up until the iPod Touch 5th Gen came out with the wider screen. Because he said, you know, the problem with playing games on my iPhone is that my thumbs obscure more of the screen than I want. But his comment immediately, as soon as the you know, the 5th gen came out, and of course the iPhone 5 and all of that at the same time, was, oh, well, now I'm good to go. You know,
yeah.
This is great. I can play games here. And he had no loyalty to Nintendo. He just liked playing his games that way. And now, I mean, you know, he's sold off all his Nintendo stuff. He has just he went from an iPod Touch and like an iPhone 3 or whatever, you know, we had handed down to him at the time. Now he just has an iPhone 5 and that's all he has. And he plays all his games on it and it's perfect. So.
See, I have the opposite problem because I'm a Nintendo baby. So I grew up on the original NES and, you know, played inordinate amounts of Duck Hunt. And, you know, we ended up getting, you know, we would get a new game console every so often. You know, we ended up with a Super Nintendo and the NES 64. And, like, at my house, when the GameCube was released, Mr. Kelly looked at me one day, because my birthday's in November. So he looked at me one day and said, so I suppose we're going to need to combine your birthday and Christmas because there's a new Nintendo thing out. And I said, no. Why not? There's a new Nintendo. And I said, there's no Legend of Zelda for it yet. I don't care. It may as well not exist. And so then the next year, I said, okay, they've already said that there are pre-orders starting for it in March. So now I need one for Christmas. So that was, and up until the Wii U, because the Wii U didn't seem to give me anything and I couldn't justify it. I played every single Legend of Zelda title and I had to play some of them a bunch of times because other people in my house, like my stepdad and my brother, would get bored with the character they were playing or they'd get stuck. So they'd go play on my character for a while. So some of them I had to play 5 and 6 times before I was the one that was able to beat it all by myself. And I have a deep and abiding love of those games. So for me, this just breaks my heart that Nintendo's like, yeah, we're coming to iOS, but not for you, Kelly. It's really frustrating.
I don't think Nintendo cares about you or me.
No, they don't.
Right.
And it makes me very sad for given how much I've cared about them.
But I think this is I get why they don't want to take a game that they have built for a specific platform and port it to what in this case would then be a non-specific platform.
Sure.
But I also get why they want to take all the great game designers that they have and all the knowledge that they've built over the years and take that and design games specifically for iOS, because
except
I think that's a really
but they're not doing that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. If that's what they should do.
I agree. That's exactly what they should do.
Yeah.
And the reason that this bums me out is, like I said, I would be glad to pay them. I have already given Nintendo a significant amount of my money in my lifetime, and it would make me really happy to continue to do so. And the only the reason I find this frustrating is because it seems like Sega was sort of in the same boat with all of this, and then Sega at one point was looking at having to lock the doors and decided, oh, you know what? Maybe releasing Sonic games on iOS isn't such a terrible idea. And then they managed to do it. And they're not quite as dead as they used to be.
You say that they're not doing this, but it is what they're doing. They're just creating new games, right, for iOS? Am I misunderstanding that?
They're making new games that are not based on the current characters.
Correct. Yeah.
That's what Nintendo
that.
Is doing. Sega yeah, did not. Sega really, at least one of the Sega games is a classic Sega game.
I know.
Now the games that this company is known for making are, they're the basic free-to-play, but you have to do tons of in-app purchases to continue playing sort of games.
Got it.
And they tend to be the match two puzzles and the find the image in our big picture puzzles. And
so we can't expect games with the depth that we've come to know and love from Nintendo, at least not based on what we know about the path that they're taking. But we also shouldn't discount it. I get why longtime Nintendo fans are upset, and I also get why that's totally irrelevant. iOS has seen stellar success for a lot of different types of games. Mm-hmm. And I think Nintendo's smart to get to wade into these waters and get themselves there. I mean, I get it. I totally get why you're upset, but it doesn't matter. I think
I'm mostly just sad.
Yeah.
I'm sad that here's the worst thing about it is I feel like I'm the person they should be talking to because I am sad I do not get to pay Nintendo more money for their stuff. That's absolutely what this boils down to.
That's only true if you decide that you won't pay Nintendo for something that doesn't honor a legacy, right? You may well decide to pay Nintendo money for a game on iOS because it's a good game, regardless of who made it. And what else that company has made and what else that company hasn't made, right?
I have games I have games that I think are super fun on my iPad and on my iPhone that I really enjoy. So, yeah, I would be happy to do that. And I think for me the thing that's disappointing is that this is how I play games now and the games I really, really like to play and have really liked to play for my entire life, more or less, are the ones that I really want to have on my phone, and Nintendo isn't into that. Now, I will say that I would like it's not like there aren't options available to Nintendo. They could, draw a line and say only the tall phones can have, whatever, like the hardware we're supporting is 5 and higher so that there is enough room on the screen. They could build their own controller, and I would probably buy a controller. I just can't be in a Nintendo for another $100. That's really all it comes down to. And it's not like I don't want to pay them. I just don't have a budget that allows that kind of leeway. So that's why I'm disappointed in this.
All right. So we're pretty much out of time for this. But I will sum it up by saying it looks to me like what we're seeing, and Kelly, you're kind of validating this for me, is that Nintendo has intentionally or otherwise created two camps here. The camp that's not going to buy the new games and the camp that maybe will buy their new games, instead of creating a camp where they get the people that would have or that previously bought games to continue buying on a new platform and then potentially add new customers into that.
Mm-hmm.
So this may work out, but I'm not holding out faith simply because Nintendo has proven time and again that they're not getting the bigger picture in the market. So, yeah. All right. And hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Ooh.
And that would be lynda.com. And I'm pretty excited about this because I'm all about learning and growing and becoming smarter. And that's exactly what they're offering everyone at no cost. So if you go to their website, which is lynda.com/TDO, for TMO Daily Observations, you can get 10 days of all their content for free. So as much of their online training video stuff that you can possibly absorb in a 10-day window, you can go and do it. And I think that's absolutely awesome because it's all about learning. And the more we're growing, the better we can be as people. And we need better people in this world. So let's make that happen ourselves. All right. So one of the things that I did, because I've been doing a lot with their Photoshop training, just because there's so many cool things that you can learn, even if you already know a lot about a topic, I decided to check and see if they have anything else related to another topic that really interests me, and that's Lego. Turns out you can learn how to program Lego Mindstorm robots from lynda.com, which is absolutely amazing. I mean, building a Mindstorm robot, which I've done, and programming, which I've done, is not difficult just to do something very basic. But if you want to go beyond just a little tractor thing that bounces off walls, it's nice to have some guidance on what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some really great tips on exactly what you can do to make your robots better, more sophisticated, and cooler. So I just love that there's video training for that right there at lynda.com. And you get it for free for 10 days. So lynda.com, lynda.com/TDO. Go there, get yourself 10 days of free training, even if you're not planning on sticking around, but I hope you do because we should always be learning more stuff. But go and get your 10 free days so that you can learn some cool and awesome stuff and not even have to pay for it. So thank you, Lynda, for being our sponsor this week. And I can't wait to hear what all of our listeners are learning. All right. So now the other thing I wanted to take a look at today, comes out of a thing that you did yesterday, Kelly, which is you wrote up an article talking about all the different Apple Watches that the TMO staff is going to get. And I thought that was really interesting, the reasoning that we all have behind the watches that we're looking at. So I figured we could kind of share with our listeners why it is that we are making the Apple Watch choices that we're making.
So the first thing I have to say is that there are four people who aren't getting one, and they are me. And my answer is a very basic answer. It's budget. It's the same reason I don't have a DS XL BBQ. So I'm not getting one. And what I'm trying to do is convince myself that like I can take that jar of pennies and just sort of hold out until 2.0, whenever that will be, because it will be the one that is a lot closer to sort of the final product, kind of like with the iPad. So that's sort of my hope. And so I'm trying to do that. I can wait till version two. I can wait till version two. And I'm going to try to keep saying that to myself until I believe it. Right now, I still don't. Aside from me, Nancy is not getting one. Vern is not.
Nancy Gravely.
And Nancy is, she said she's not getting one because she just doesn't see a place where it fits. She's not a person who, she's not a road warrior. She doesn't do a lot of travel or anything like that. So, she's good with her, iPad and iPhone and her laptop. And she doesn't see a spot for it to be useful to her. Vern is not getting one. Vern did not elaborate when I emailed everybody the questions. Vern just said no. So I don't know what his setup is.
So that would be Vern Seward.
Vern Seward. And, Jonathan Braun of Maggie Gab fame, said that he is, he's not feeling it. Like he has a watch and he wants his watch to tell him the time and that's basically it. So the other stuff doesn't really matter to him.
Those are all valid reasons.
Yeah.
Including it's none of your business.
Right. That's the nose. So we've sort of covered that. Virtually everyone else's answers were, this is my choice, or these are the ones I'm deciding between until I see them in person. Once I get a good look at them, the choice will be clear.
And I found it interesting that the most common choice was Apple Watch Sport.
Yes, and that was for two reasons. And Dave was one of the people who had this reason. So Dave, I will let you tell us why you're choosing the Sport.
Well, yeah. So it largely I'm choosing the Sport for the same reason that you're choosing not to get one, right? is because and we don't know that version 2.0 of the Apple Watch will ever be released, right? Let alone when it would be released or what it would be. Mm-hmm. But based on what we've seen from every other product that Apple has done, a year from now, it's reasonable to expect that we could see a version 2. And because of what we do here every day, I'm going to want to have version 2.
Mm-hmm.
And,
of course.
And so with that, I figure, well, you know, I'm a watch guy, right? I own all kinds of watches. I've bought all kinds of watches. I've sold a few, probably less than I should have. The big difference between the Sport and the larger model and the regular Apple Watch model, there's two of them. Number one is you get it with stainless versus the brushed aluminum, and then number two is that it's a different type of glass. The Sport has a Ion X
glass.
Yeah, it's mineral glass, a very advanced mineral glass, I will add. Mm-hmm. And the other ones are sapphire. So sapphire scratches less. Ion glass is probably more shatterproof. Honestly, I bet that ion glass is pretty darn scratch resistant on its own. So with knowing that and knowing that in a year I'm going to be doing something with this thing, I don't need to spend the extra money. I'll just, I'll get the Sport. I'm probably going to be testing it with all kinds of different cases and shells and this and that. So, probably doesn't matter. So that's where I'm going with it. But I will, to speak to your earlier point, you mentioned it in passing that everybody is kind of has their preference, but most of us are waiting to try them on. Mm-hmm. And I can't stress that enough. I have, like I said, I'm a watch guy. I've been obsessed with watches since I was a kid. I've owned a lot of watches. I've bought a lot. Once you were able to buy watches online or from catalogs, I guess even.
It was all over.
I made the mistake of buying watches based on picture alone. And a lot of times, I mean, a watch that I'll just love the look of, it doesn't fit for me. Either it's too big, it's too small, or the, you know, just the watch itself just doesn't look good on my wrist, or it's not comfortable on my wrist, right? So there's all kinds of things you have to go through. And to buy a watch, you know, sight unseen is the wrong word, you know, untested.
Yeah,
you will fail more often than you will succeed.
Absolutely.
Even if you know what you're doing. But the inverse is true too. I've had some watches. In fact, one of my favorite watches that I have, I would never have bought, and it was never on my list. And a good sales guy, suggested I try it on, and I put it on. It was like, holy crap! It's comfortable. I like the way this looks. Yeah, I was going to get the stainless steel model, but this is two-tone stainless and gold, and so it costs twice as much. But wow, I like the way it looks. And I never would have bought a watch with any amount of gold for myself, let alone, you know, this one. But you just have to try it on. And I'm not saying you got to go try on the edition, right? I mean, that's priced. Yeah. It's a whole different market.
Even if you can.
It's a whole different market. So,
well, and
anyway.
Comfort is a thing that John Martellaro did mention when he was talking about them. He was talking about how he's probably – let me double check which band it was that he was looking at, because he actually said – I've never enjoyed a metal watch band. It's never been comfortable.
I think he was looking at the leather band.
Leather, yeah.
Yeah, he said sport or black leather, depending. Yep. And that was part of what he said. I've never worn metal bands because they cut into my skin and they're uncomfortable. So that's the one that he's looking at. And most people were also not definitive on size. I know, Jeff, you were sort of... You know, it'll look like this, but it'll be one or the – it'll be – I haven't decided if it'll be the smaller one or the larger one.
Yeah, and okay, now see, this is a big problem for me because I'm not someone that typically wears something on their wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I have tried – I've tried to wear all these different types of bands and fitness trackers and stuff, and I just can't make myself do it more than a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hoping is that this is different because there will be more perceived value out of the watch for me. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking features, that it actually does something that I perceive as valuable for me. So I'm thinking that will be what gets me to wear the watch. But about the size, I'm more inclined to go with the 38 millimeter simply because it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's the right choice. And not having worn a watch for over 20 years, I mean, this is a really difficult decision for me. And now I'm thinking, well, geez, should I just order the 38 millimeter as soon as pre-orders start, then go look at it later in the day and hope that I chose correctly? Or do I get the 42 millimeter and just hope that it's not too big?
Right. And for people who are listening who are listening to us talk about millimeters and you're thinking that's not very many millimeters, you would think that. I guarantee. Oh, well, it's not like it's that big a difference. Like, what's Jeff hung up on? The difference
10%.
Is huge. And when you stick it on your arm, you will see the difference.
Yeah.
And I promise you that it is important. I'm totally with you, Dave, on make sure that you lay hands upon it before you decide which one you're going to get.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
And the only reason I'm thinking about ordering and then looking is because I'm guessing there are so many people that are going to want an Apple Watch Sport in black that they may sell out of pre-orders quickly. And I want to make sure that I have my watch on the 24th so that we
one
can
way
start
or another.
Working on our review right away.
Yeah,
right.
That hedging your bet that way, it makes perfect sense for obvious reasons.
Most people don't have that consideration. So.
Right. That's right.
So do go in and take a good look at them. I thought it was interesting to see what everybody's choices were, because it's a very Coke or Pepsi thing. Like, at the end of the day, a soda is a soda. I look forward to your letters. So I think that it's – for me, it was fun to put it together because it was fun to ask everybody which one they want. What does it look like? Are you going to get one that's color or whatever? And like Dave, you had pointed out – third-party bands, that you were going to be trying a bunch of third-party, probably trying a bunch of third-party bands with it. And that was something I hadn't really considered because I haven't seen anybody bring up third-party bands. I've only seen, I think, one actually announced, and most of what I've seen is people who are trying to make a nifty thing for the nightstand so that you can charge it conveniently every night.
Yeah, they haven't been announced yet.
Yeah.
Yes, but there are plenty in the making. That's right.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
we just haven't heard about any of them yet. So that was a thing that hadn't even really occurred to me. So I'm very interested in where the third-party band market ends up with this, because I think it's going to end up being really interesting to watch to see what kind of other stuff people can do once they've got the body. You know, what sort of customization you can make besides buying a new sport band, for example. So,
all right. Well, we are out of time. So, Kelly, thank you for putting that article together, because I thought it was really interesting, and I didn't realize so many of us were looking at the same watch or a variation on the same watch. So that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And Dave, thank you for being here and bringing your perspective on the gaming industry.
My pleasure.
And thank you to lynda.com for being our sponsor this week. Head on over to their website, lynda.com/TDO, and get yourself 10 days of free training and make yourself smarter. The smarter we are, the better we are. So let's all go get better. And thank you, listeners, for being with us today. We'll see you again tomorrow.